Inspiration is everywhere. We can find it in our books, our movies, our games, and even just the world around us. With the creative kindling laid and a random prompt to provide the spark, anything and everything will emerge from the flames.
Join us around the fire as we breathe life into these embers of creation. Here, we'll discuss, joke, and forge new stories in the hopes that you find entertainment and inspiration along the way. So grab your hammer and tongs and man the bellows.
This is WorldForge Season 2.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of WorldForge. And hello, Piper.
Hello, Sam.
And welcome back to the same room that we've been in for the last 2 hours recording podcasts.
Yeah. this one will have no D&D updates because nothing's happened
yet.
Yeah, we jumped forward in time.
we actually are recording. So this episode and last week's episode we're doing is kind of like a two-part little series here.
Yeah.
So last episode, as you may recall, mm-hmm. Piper cooked up a saucy little prompt for us, a little kind of little story intro context developing prompt that we built on for about an hour. It was a lot of fun.
Sam helped me work out the sort of idea that I had gotten that was really just the start of a story or potentially a campaign.
Yeah.
We sort of fleshed out the world. We developed the characters a bit. We came up with some ethical battles and questions that one could encounter along this journey. So now we're going to do the same for one of Sam's little brain children.
Yes, it is my turn. My brain children will run freely across the internets and into your ears where they will live.
So you always create these disturbing images.
These unpleasant metaphors. That's the name of the game, baby. Oh. So this week, I've got a little prompt here that I've cooked up. I'm just going to jump right in, I think, because, yeah, like you said, we really don't have any new updates. Nothing has happened in the 15 minutes since we last recorded, other than you eating a bowl of ramen and me grabbing another beer.
I ate some ramen. Yeah. Tummies were filled. Thirsts were quenched.
Yes, exactly. And now we are ready to record again. So let me just... I do gotta move my mic a little bit. Here we go.
I gotta.
All right. So my prompt is as follows.
I'm ready.
As you make your way back towards the clearing that you and your friends have called home these past few nights, the last glimmers of sunlight are suddenly snuffed out like a candle in the wind. Dark comes on quick this time of year, but something has felt off since you first stepped foot into the shade of these ancient trees. No matter, we're almost there, and John will have the fire lit and a hot meal waiting for us, just over this hill. These past few hours on the trail weigh heavily upon you, and you can feel your legs beginning to give out as your dimly lit camp finally comes into view. Stumbling towards the fire, you grab a seat and call out to your companions. I'm back. Nothing to report to the north, just more trees. Any luck with that town to the east? Your call goes unanswered. Hey, John, it's me. What's for dinner? Still nothing. As you stand up and make your way towards a cluster of tents, you're plunged into darkness once again as a stiff breeze steals away the light of your fire. You're hit with a shocking cold, and everything goes dark. As your eyes begin to adjust and your sight returns, all that you see are a few bits of torn-up canvas and the ashes of a fire long since burnt down. You open your mouth to shout for your friends, but your words catch in your throat. All you can hear is the deafening howl of the wind. Confused, you take a nervous step forward when suddenly you're knocked flat. The brass lantern you keep at your side bursts like a grenade, sending shards of glass and metal in all directions. Your ears are ringing, your head is pounding, and as you struggle to regain your bearings, you see them. Three sets of eyes staring at you from out in the dark. With your last bit of strength, you rise to your feet and draw your sword. You again?
Da-da-da!
Okay. Whoa. So what I kind of wanted to do with this prompt here was sort of put... I wanted to intentionally make it like a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I thought was really fun about what we did last week was we kind of went really big picture with it. And we were able to sort of branch out in all these different directions with the story and say like, okay, what is like kind of the, what's going on in the world? Like what's the context that like affects sort of everybody like globally?
Yeah.
So what I wanted to do with this was to focus this a little bit more on like one person's kind of linear story.
Okay.
And I thought it'd be fun to just say like, okay, like who is this person? Where did they come from? Who's John? Who are their companions? Whatever. Mm-hmm. What happens next in this story here?
Cool.
So yeah, that's what I had.
Yeah. Can I give you some of my initial like thoughts please. That have sparked into my brain from listening to that?
What are your first big reactions? Like what is standing out to you from this story?
So in the first paragraph or so, you said something about how night falls quickly now. Then later it was as if, you know, a shadow went over everything and then suddenly the fire was long since out.
Yeah.
I am instantly thinking that there's some element, some person, some force that is essentially, and maybe this comes from, we've been watching later seasons of Lost recently where they are dealing with time travel. But I'm imagining as this person is walking towards their camp, somebody is like sending out these waves and like time is passing quickly around them without them noticing it. So instead of it simply like, oh, like the days are shorter now because it's turning into winter, it's literally since they got from the forest to the camp, there was kind of this pulse and the sun like instantly set. And maybe they're too tired from their travels looking around to try and find, you know, their path. It doesn't realize to them that the dark came so fast. But then once they get to the camp and they realize it's empty and suddenly there's that second wave, that second push and everything is dark and the fire has been quenched for many hours. I think suddenly they've jumped forward again. Someone is pushing time forward around them. And I even, because you know me, I like making it dark. I feel if they got a chance to look around for their comrades, like the third push would be a significant jump and they would just be skeletons. Yeah. They've been like, and now you're 50 years in the future and your comrades are dead.
They waited here the whole time.
I don't know. Well, that's the thing. I'm almost picturing this as like not necessarily like it's actual time passing. I picture these three individuals that are approaching them from behind. I think they can essentially put out this force and they can just make things kind of like the way that we see Doctor Strange wave his hand and the apple instantly decays.
I think
you can alter time around individuals. So like if people are standing there around their campfire, these guys could wave their hand and they would suddenly age and turn into skellies.
Okay, so
that's what I'm picturing.
That's really interesting to me. I like the idea that there is like a time dilation that is focused on a specific location. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is, you know, what I kind of pictured was as I was writing this, there was a line that I was trying to find a way to sort of squeeze it in. I put it in and I cut it out a couple different times and ultimately I didn't include it. I wanted to describe these woods as strange and uncanny. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted it to be very clear that there was something strange about this location specifically. So yeah, maybe it is. Maybe there's like a creature that lives in these woods that calls these woods home. And part of how it defends itself is it can, if something comes into the forest that could physically overpower it, it fast forwards time 100 years and that thing dies, you know?
I like it.
Or it rewinds time to before they came to attack them or something like that. That would be, I think that's a cool way to do it.
If I may offer a name, I would call this the temporal forest.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Is it a temperate temporal forest?
Probably. Yes. I think it's, I bet if I were writing this, I'd say that this prospective character and their party were not privy to the nature of these strange woods when they entered it. But I imagine this is a place where right now it's rather minor, just simply going from day to night rather quickly. But it could be as extreme as suddenly you're walking in an autumn forest and then boom, all the trees are naked and like the buds are just starting to bloom.
Yeah, okay.
And maybe it like is like a defense mechanism the forest does or something that lives in the forest does. But
interesting.
I also can see, now my mind is just going off of ways that this forest could change time or something in it could change time. And the way that I love the cycle of a forest often follows, you know, burns and fires.
Yeah.
Like maybe if it's severely threatened, it'll fast forward in time to when a fire is happening and you'll be surrounded by flames.
Okay, that's really cool. I love the idea that there is either, you know, the spirit of the forest or some like elemental being that lives in the forest that like experiences all time simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And so whatever it needs to happen in this particular moment,
yeah.
it can basically just, it has this catalog of all the events that will happen from yeah. the beginning of time to the end of time. And it can say, well, what would be convenient for me to happen right now mm-hmm. in this instance? Like, and I'll grab that little card mm-hmm. and I'll put that on the deck and that's just what happens.
Right. You know?
Like that's a really interesting thing.
Yeah.
I love that, actually. Yeah, I really like that a lot. I also, you know, you're definitely giving me, talking about the seasons specifically, mm-hmm. We've been listening to a lot of Hadestown recently. we have, oh my gosh, we finally have tickets to go see Hadestown in March, you guys. We are, oh my gosh, I don't even want to like put this out into the universe, but I'm like so terrified that Omicron is going to like ruin this for us.
Oh, you already said it. Knock on wood. Do it. Knock on your desk.
I'm knocking on wood here.
Don't.
But like, I'm just, oh my gosh, you've been waiting for like literally 10 years to see this. I am so, so, so excited to go see it. And a big theme of the play of Hadestown is, for anyone not familiar, it's the story of Hades and Persephone and Orpheus and Eurydice mm-hmm. And the Greek mythological tale of the seasons, right? And how they are controlled by Hades and Persephone and how their like relationship like influences that, right? And at the beginning of the story, they talk about how the seasons don't work the right way anymore. It's just summer and winter. Yeah, there's no spring or fall. Exactly. Like it's
either blazing hot or freezing cold.
Exactly.
Anyway, the wind blows.
Yes. I ain't seen a fall since, well, I can't recall. I think that's such an interesting thing that there is this cycle that is supposed to.
Of the seed and the sickle. Sorry, I'll stop.
Yes, we have to bring the world back into tune.
Back into time.
There's a rhythm and a rhyme. All right, so welcome to our
Hadestown podcast.
Table reading of all of Hadestown here. I think there's something very interesting about the idea of like an elemental force that is out of whack, right? There's this thing that we just take for granted. We don't really know how or why it works the way it does. We just always assume that it will always work the way that it was intended to work. Mm-hmm. And then something happens, either, you know, a god or a spirit or some powerful elemental being gets upset and it throws this all into chaos, right? Mm-hmm. And how do we bring that back to where it's supposed to be? The Orpheus approach is to just write the greatest song ever written of yeah. all time and fix everything
with
through,
the most simple words. La, yeah. la, 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 la.
Exactly. And, you know, the individuals who get kind of sucked into this, like, you know, our perspective character in my prompt here, you know, I kind of liked the idea that at the beginning, it seems like this is someone who just is wandering through the forest, like innocently, just, you know, maybe just trying to survive, trying to find their way to the next town, trying to find their way to some kind of shelter, you know, who knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, it's like you again, you know, like they've actually experienced this before.
Yeah.
So, you know, what is their connection to this? Is this a problem that they've been trying to fix for a while? Is this just a problem that they're like, we're trying to escape this problem? Like, mm-hmm. where do they enter into that story?
I picture the three individuals who walk up behind them being maybe, I think I like the idea that the temporal forest, it changes on its own, but maybe these people are able to like fast forward or rewind or something. They can kind of influence the changes.
Okay.
And maybe they are the guardian. I mean, I feel like the easiest and most obvious approach is that they are the guardians of these woods. Your yeah. prospective character is intruding, and therefore they are doing these time jumps to be like, we're scaring you, get out of here. We tried to warn you before, okay. You're still here. Now we have to turn you into skellies.
You know what? Okay, so I like that. So focusing on these three individuals, I think it's interesting.
Past, present, and future?
Well, okay. So this is what I'm talking about is like, what do these three stand for? Because for me, I love that you specifically jump right away to three individuals, because what I kind of pictured in my mind was I wanted it to be ambiguous whether it was three individuals or maybe it was like one being with three heads, like a, you know, like a chimera or, you know, or something, or a hydra or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right. Like
yeah.
I didn't really want to let on what necessarily it was. Mm-hmm. But now that we're talking about seasons and time, I think past, present, and future is a good way to look at it. But yeah. I also love the idea, if we're talking about things being out of balance or things being kind of broken, maybe it's the spirits of summer, fall, spring, winter, and one of them is missing.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
And so that's why, like, normally the four of them kind of work in concert to keep things balanced. Mm-hmm. And now with one of them gone for who knows what reason, the time is like shifting chaotically, you know, like they no longer balance each other's powers or each other's influence effectively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that idea a lot. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which in case I would imagine when they say you again, hopefully you can, you know, encourage some kind of a council and be like, come share my fire. Let's talk.
Yeah,
tell totally. Me what's wrong. And they're like, where is our sister, our brother, whoever.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah. Who are they blaming for this? Are mm-hmm. they saying anybody that comes in, they say it must have been you.
Oh, you know what? Actually, yeah. I think would be really interesting is if it turns out maybe they're siblings, right?
Okay.
And they used to, I liked what you said, worked in concert with one another. Well, maybe they had some kind of a disagreement or a fight and they cast one of them out. And that person is
like
banished.
That.
And now the seasons are out of whack and the time is jumping in weird ways. And it's a matter of like the person listening, our perspective character says, well, if you just make up with your sibling, they could come back and everything will be normal. But they're so proud. They're like,
yeah,
no,
we
sure. can never forgive them for what they did. They can never come back.
Classically how that is like the Greek gods is
yes.
like this pride, right? Mm-hmm. I think if we are positioning this as siblings, I think something that would be interesting to kind of put a little more specificity to that dynamic is winter and summer would be twins and spring and fall would be twins.
That makes sense.
So it's like two sets of opposing twins, right? So like maybe like summer and winter were created first.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were always like at each other's throats, like constantly like this, like never-ending struggle between the two of them.
Spring and fall with the
Spring
peacekeepers.
Spring and fall were exactly were born as like the peacekeepers. Like they come in and they balance. They act as like a balancing act between the two of them. Right.
I like that.
I
feel like with that
yeah.
that lead, then it makes sense that it should be either spring or fall who is banished, perhaps.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
If one of the peacekeepers is gone, now things are getting out yeah. of hand.
I picture. Okay, I think it should be spring that's gone because I think. Bringing spring back in has this sort of like spring is like renewal and mm-hmm. like, you know, like birth and like Genesis and like the creation. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting that if that is gone, everything sort of stagnates and decays. And I also picture this, you know, we're talking about it being like kind of cold and, you know, I picture like a fall, like autumn sort of chill in the air.
So I totally yeah. see what you're saying. Again, kind of with my prompt last week, I liked that we had all these different avenues
yeah,
we could
yeah,
take.
What are you thinking?
So I really like what you say there. That makes a lot of sense. But also, wouldn't it be interesting if fall was the one who was cast away? Because maybe for whatever reason, even though winter is the coldest time of year when everyone is dead, maybe the fall process is the process of death itself. Like, it's the dying
okay.
process.
Yeah,
and
okay.
that's what upset the others, is they're saying, like, when you happen, when you do your thing, summer is like, all my hard work falls away. Like, it's not winter's fault. Winter is just what comes after you. You're the one who kills my leaves.
Yeah.
And so maybe
okay.
they sent them off because they're like, we can't deal with you anymore. But without them there, then it's even a harsher jump from summer's progress to
yeah,
winter's result.
We need this, like, we need this sort of, like, transitional periods that we can process this death.
Yeah.
Right? This
right.
like death of the seasons and of the harvest and of, you know, and all of these things.
My yeah. mind is going to a very kind of like Steven Universe place where it's like, let's put therapy into our cartoons and our content. But it's just like, it's like, oh, you know, people think that letting go is the hard part, but it's actually once the person is gone, that's the hard part. And so people are like pushing that person away.
I do really like that. Okay. So then what is informing this? Like, I feel like there should be, maybe there's some like powerful being that is maybe it's like a wizard that lost someone they loved. And they said, I want to make it so that no one ever has to go through this experience again. Like we have this power of magic at our fingertips. Like, why do we still die? We should all be able to harness the power of immortality, right? What is it that, what can I do to go on forever? Like, what if I interrupt this cycle? You know, like it's the cycle of time that pushes us over the, you know, across the threshold into death, right? Mm-hmm. If I can interrupt that cycle, then, you know, maybe we won't ever have to, you know, cross over to the other side. So if I can say, you know what, fall is the seasonal symbol of
dying,
of the entrance into the other realm, the realm of the dead or whatever. Maybe if I can take fall out of the equation, this sort of like time of dying and of death, the cycle will stall and freeze, and we won't ever end up, you know, following the wheel into the other side, right? And what ends up happening instead is it throws everything into chaos, where now it's no longer a wheel, it's time is just jumping randomly, you know, or chaotically around, because these three remaining forces, they don't have that balance. They can just act on their own whims with no one keeping them in check.
I'm also seeing, like, I'm envisioning so many cool side effects of fall being forced to leave, and where before summer was maybe the most active of pushing them out, saying, you know, you kill my green growing things and I hate you. Now that fall is gone, summer is overwhelmed. Like, the green keeps growing and she can't handle it anymore. And she's like, I'm too weighed down. I'm stressed out. Things keep growing and they won't go away. And maybe winter is completely lost. Like, maybe he's almost like mute, or he's not really there anymore. He's like, I don't know what to do next. No one will lead me. Always before, fall held my hand and brought me forward, and now I've lost my leader.
I like that. I like that they usher each other in.
Yeah.
And I also really like thinking, let's kind of flesh out a little bit as we are traveling through this forest and we are thrust into different sort of extremes. Like, what does like double summer look like? What does double winter look like? What does double spring look like, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think summer would be really interesting as like the overgrowth of like brambles, like giant plants that are, that have become like sentient, man-eating.
Like prehistoric.
Prehistoric. Yeah. Like the beasts of the forest become like, like hulking great monstrosities, overwhelming and like terrible to behold. And like, I think that'd be really interesting. And then in, you know, maybe in winter, it's, you know, everything grow, like everything goes into like hibernation. They go into like a deep eternal sleep, and they, you know, like everything like slumbers, and the, you know, the ice like creeps up around everything. Like, everything becomes frozen in these giant, like, you know, cages of ice. And like, we're like immobilized. Like, we can't move. If we stay there too long,
I think it's just like
perish. Like,
exactly. Yeah. I think the blizzards are too intense. Like, it just won't stop snowing. And the little animals, maybe before there'd be, because everything was in check, you know, the snow wouldn't be too bad. But now they can't even like burrow out from underneath it. Their little homes are buried, and they need some help.
Yeah.
I was thinking too, before things got thrown out of whack, I really liked the idea of this kind of like time jump forest, that the way that like hares and mink, their coats change color. So this is, I'm kind of stealing this from the Disney Tinkerbell movie. But I like the idea that if you're walking through these woods and it suddenly jumps from like, okay, it was summer like 2 seconds ago and now it's wintertime, you would see a little squirrel like running along the ground and he would go whee, and his coat would go from brown to white and he would transform.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's almost, you could say it's a magic thing, but I love the idea of like these animals have evolved to like change with the seasons when they change so fast. So they're just like, whee, they shake themselves and they turn white all of a sudden so they can match.
I wonder if there are animals that like are touched by magic somehow, that the animals themselves find ways to jump between seasons, like the way a wizard would jump between planes or something like that.
Yeah,
you know? Maybe there are certain animals that are able to evolve the ability to not like manipulate time, but to like navigate it, you know, in an interesting way. I think that would be kind of cool. That might be also kind of a part of the key to unlocking the solution to this mystery, right? Is like saying like, well, these mice are still surviving here. They seem like they're not really part of the cycle anymore. Like, what are they doing? Let's follow these little cute little mice.
Well, Sam, you know what creature should be the secret holder to all of this?
What?
The cunning and beloved banana slug.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Yeah. If you can follow the slime trail or part the fallen leaves or dig beneath the snow, you'll find a little banana slug creeping along. Doesn't matter what season it is. He's still trucking.
The banana slug is like a, this is like a new like mascot. This has to be like a new mascot. For like us, for our lives.
Yeah. If we made a flag that had a crest, it would probably have a banana slug in the middle of
Should we give a little context to this? Just like complete non sequitur.
Yeah. I'll say it briefly because it doesn't make sense. It's a stupid joke. We were watching X-Files. I made a joke about banana slugs being the mastermind of the puppet master who pulls all the strings because it takes place in the forests of Washington State.
Yeah, the episode we're watching.
Where there are lots of banana slugs. And then we just latched onto that.
Yeah, we were like, banana slugs rule everything. Yeah.
And then Sam gave me a banana slug plushie for Christmas. Yeah. So now it's in our podcast. Yeah.
yes. I love the idea of the most unassuming creature that is the only one that is like, immune to the sway of time or, you know, they maybe actually, here's what it is. Maybe because now that time is moving like quickly, anyone who moves through time at like a normal pace, everything is like thrown like out of whack.
But he's so slow.
Because slugs are so slow that, like time has always washed over them differently.
Oh my gosh, I like that.
Yeah.
They essentially, that's really cool. Dude, they've evolved like a time shield.
Oh, like a time shell. Like a snail shell that is like a temporal like beacon.
Well, it's literally, it's slime. Yeah. The slime that it secretes, it protects it from the time changes.
I like that.
And so if you need to like, you find out that you have to like gather these banana slugs, and if you take their slime and like wipe it on your hands or whatever, you can kind of like reach, you can not be affected by it.
I love that. Okay. I feel like the way you would notice this too is like, there would be this, like as you're being warped through time, you're seeing, you know, plants growing and decaying, you know, in rapid speed in like a time lapse fashion, right? But there would be a banana slug just crawling across a branch, moving normally as everything around it is fast forwarding and rewinding repeatedly back and forth. And like, it would just like, what?
And he's just cruising along. He's like, whatever, I'm fine.
Like at normal speed, like unaffected by this in any way whatsoever.
I love it. You would have to roll one hell of a perception check, like probably a nat 20. And the DM's like, all right, you see a banana slug over there and it really catches your eye.
Yes.
And you're
yes.
like, what? Go investigate that.
I like it a lot. I mean, I think there are ways to approach this though too. Like, I mean, depending on who you have in your party, like, having like a druid or a ranger or something in your party, someone that is like attuned to the natural world, I think that would be like a must for solving this, right? Like if you don't have someone like that that knows how to traverse the more magically treacherous parts of nature, you would need to go and find someone to do this, right? That would be something like if I were hired by some town to go and right the wrongs of the temporal forest just on the outskirts of town. Like, you know, if these are the rumors that I'm hearing, that would be my first thought is, okay, find someone who is a ranger or a druid who knows how to walk through the environments that like, you know, others dare not attempt to traverse.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
So another thing that just occurred to me, Sam, and this is something we've kind of talked about before, of this idea of there being like individuals in a campaign that you need to seek out because they have certain knowledge or they have certain skills.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe they're dead and there's only like certain areas where they can still kind of exist in weird pockets or ways.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, do you think the temporal forest, the way that it jumps, can it capture people within that jump cycle? So maybe there's a warrior long dead and you need them for your mission, and they're like, too bad that guy died like 200 years ago, and someone's like, you know what, they went off, they spent some time in the temporal forest, maybe if you go there you'll be at the same time as them.
Okay, I love this because I what I like is it introduces this idea of there could be individuals that are simultaneously like dead and alive at the same time, right? Like in the forest, they are eternal, right?
Yeah.
Like time is both like constant and finite, right? I think that's so neat that literally you just take one step across the threshold of the forest.
And now you've been there.
You are in the land of like legends, right? Mm-hmm. Like there are great warriors and scholars and mages that have you know, centuries past, but in this forest, the forest can exist in a time where they are still alive. So at any time they could walk in.
I like that a lot.
We can also kind of connect this to, I mean, this is a concept that exists in the Dark Souls universe, that the flow of time in Lordran and Dark Souls 1, that's kind of how they explain the multiplayer features of Dark Souls, is that other players from different points in the game can jump into your game at any time, really. And they say, well, yeah, it's because like time is broken here, essentially. Like long dead warriors and warriors that have not, you know, yet come to be can enter into your world as though, you know, just walking through a door, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's a really, really cool concept, that would be so neat. In like kind of a Marvel multiverse kind of way, like you can step into another dimension and say, oh, give me four Spider-Men and give me three Iron Men, and give me a couple of Captain Americas. And
you know what? I'll take a Doc Ock for fun.
Yeah, just for fun. Yeah, exactly. Just throw them all in the mix, and, you know, and then I bring them back to my world and we see what happens. Like in the same way, you could kind of say, all right, well, we need to assemble this like team to come and solve this problem. 100 years ago, the greatest mind ever to be, you know, known on the face of this planet died. Let's go into this forest, wait until it transports us back 100 years, grab them out of it, and then see if they can kind of help us solve this problem.
I agree, but I think it only works if those individuals have been in the forest.
Yeah, yes, certainly.
You cannot use the forest as a time machine and then step out of it and be in the time it is. So they have to have been in the woods themselves.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree. Very cool.
I think it's neat.
Sam, do we want to analyze any of the words of your initial thing and break some of those things down some more?
What do you think? Is something standing out specifically?
Well,
there's a lot of words there.
Read the last paragraph to me again.
Okay. You open your mouth to shout for your friends, but your words catch in your throat. All you can hear is the deafening howl of the wind. Confused, you take a nervous step forward when suddenly you're knocked flat. The brass lantern you keep at your side bursts like a grenade, sending shards of glass and metal in all directions. Your ears are ringing, your head is pounding, and as you struggle to regain your bearings, you see them. Three sets of eyes staring at you from the dark. With your last bit of strength, you rise to your feet. You draw your sword. You again?
It's
interesting, like now having this discussion, reading this again, actually,
right.
I have like a totally different perspective on it because I wasn't thinking anything this kind of specific here.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I did, the piece that this started with was the lantern.
Okay.
One of the early sort of iterations of this was actually kind of built around, I wanted to create kind of a blank slate, sort of anonymous character, but have like several artifacts that I would mention. Like I wanted to say like, okay, they walked into a camp and the lantern at their side quivered.
Mm.
Not now, they would say, like this town is already suspicious of me. Like, you know what I mean? Like they have some like magical artifact that
it's like, Genie, don't come out right now.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So I was like, okay, well maybe the lantern, I couldn't really find a way to make that work. So I was like, well, maybe the lantern, we just like kind of throw it away as this thing. Like it bursts. It's just a regular, like, you know, lantern to their side. It bursts like a grenade. Like it can still have an impact on the story.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe there's a reason the lantern burst. Maybe the light in the lantern is like, you know, maybe like fire is like chaotic. Maybe like fire cannot travel through time or something like that. If you have fire on a lantern or something like that, that's something that is constant and can be used as a way to like guide yourself home or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe we could tap into one of the classic things about like fae creatures, is that maybe the lantern casing is iron.
Oh, yes.
And maybe that reacts poorly with this kind of fae magic. And so maybe that's why it explodes.
Oh, I do like that. Yeah. So like, yeah, because I mean, I just said brass because I thought it sounded good, you know, like kind of had like a lyrical quality.
Well, if it's from a first person perspective, maybe the person believes that their lantern is made of brass, but actually it's iron.
Yeah.
And that's
just an idiot and they can't tell between two completely different.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they weren't even thinking about what kind of lantern they brought in. They're like, I don't know, brass.
Yeah.
And no, then it's like, totally. Boom. It's like, oh, totally. Shit, I brought iron in here.
I do like the iron aspect of it. Yeah. That like fey, like iron kind of entanglement, that it's a, you know, the iron can like act as like a buffer between like magic of the fae, and it can be harmful to the fae. You know, like if these three spirits are creatures of the fae, they would say, no, fuck that lantern. Get that out of here. Like, no, we're gonna get rid of that right away.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
So one thing I want us to kind of break down here is this quote that we get here where it says you again. So that implies that, well, I guess we have to ask this question first. Do we think the first time our prospective character met them, do you think they saw them as a group of three, or do you think they saw them as a group of four?
I wonder.
Has the disaster happened since the first time they met, or did they meet them as three and now they're meeting them again as three?
You know what? What I kind of picture now is I feel like this has to be a group that this individual has met many times.
Oh,
I feel like this is someone who has been shot forwards and back through time, like many, many times. You know, the fact that like suddenly their camp is gone, like their friends are missing, like everything is like chaotic. Mm-hmm. They don't react really strongly to that. The first thing they see isn't like, oh my God, what's going on? The first thing they react to is, oh, it's you again, you know? Mm-hmm. So they know like you're the cause of this. Like there's something about this that's familiar, right?
Yeah.
I think that would be kind of interesting. And I wonder if they've met them multiple times and every time they've met them, it's been like, okay, the first time it was all four of them. Mm-hmm. Then it was the three of them. Then it was four again. Then it was two of them again. Then it was four, you know, because at different times there's been different sort of like dynamics, maybe. I don't know.
Very
like,
interesting. So that says to me that you're picturing this person is getting jumped throughout the season's timelines, but they are not on the same path as the person who's being jumped around.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Obviously, well, I feel like we are...
Let's just make this very complicated.
I was going to say, we should like not try to break this down too much because we'll get confused. We'll sound like dummies. But I
think they should have met them multiple times before. Like, I think the familiarity with this force was something that I definitely had pictured.
Okay.
In my head is that whether it was one being with three heads or, you know, three or four beings of different seasonal alignments, whatever.
You know what I kind of like the idea of? I like the idea that this individual has met each of the seasons separately.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think they've had an encounter with spring, summer, fall, and winter on different times. And then when they see the three of them here, they're like, oh, it's you guys again. And I think then it kind of occurs to them like, oh, that makes sense. You're all like connected in some way or whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe they make the mistake of being like, where's the fourth one? Where's fall? And they're just kind of like, bam. And they like throw like a wave at you of time. Yeah. And you just become like an old man or an old lady. You're like, I'm sorry. And they're like, don't say that name.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So what about this though? I think this is interesting is they keep meeting these seasons individually, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe every time they meet the seasons individually, like, you know, when we are in summertime, the spirit of summer like kind of reigns supreme and the others are, they're sort of scarce, right? Mm-hmm. So when it's in summer and we're thrust into that time, summer comes to you and says, help me solve this problem. I need to gain superiority over my siblings or whatever. So, you know, and the same thing happens in spring and the same thing happens in winter, whatever. And every time you meet them, you say, well, what is the problem? They say, you like, I cannot help you. You have to solve this problem. You have to help me gain power. And maybe when they see them together, they don't realize that it's the three of them because every time they see them, it's just this set of eyes in the dark. Mm. And so they would say, well, there's this three-headed beast that lives in the forest. That must be the one that's causing all this trouble, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this sort of vignette that I've put together here, maybe this would be the first time that this character really sees the forest for the trees, so to speak, right? Uh-huh. So they're in the darkness. They see these three eyes and they go, it's the three-headed beast. And they take a step towards them. And their eyes adjust to the dark and they see it's not a three-headed beast. It's these three siblings, mm-hmm, all together, all kind of in chaos and sort of a fugue. And they realize, no, it's the disharmony between these three that's causing this.
Yeah.
And they don't even realize maybe that they're in this disharmony.
I like that. I think what I'm envisioning right now,
each of them individually would be saying, oh, the three-headed beast, sure, go kill the three-headed beast if that's causing the problem.
Interesting.
You know, so like they're tasking them with saying like, kill our chaos.
So with the conflict that they all have kind of against one another, the fact that they're now together coming to you, what I envision is that there is at the center of this kind of like little triangle of the three of them, I think it's Spring and she is leading. She has her siblings by both hands and she's pulling them forward. And I think both of them are kind of like slightly overwhelmed by how lost they are without their fourth sibling.
Yeah.
I think Summer, like I said, she is stressed, and Winter is completely lost, and Spring is there and she has them by the hands and she's like, you need to help us. Like, I can hardly hold them together anymore. And this is like the last chance before everything just kind of falls apart. Please help me. And I think Spring has to be like a little girl. And they're like, her siblings are much older and taller than her.
Yeah.
But she's this child and she's like, please help us. I can't hold them together any longer. I'm 5.
For sure. I think this would be kind of an interesting thing is like, maybe there is this thing with like, Spring is like born again every year. Like Spring is like a new, every time Spring comes, it's like they take on like a new form. It's always the same sort of spirit, but they have a different sort of physical embodiment every year.
Like because sometimes they're like a deer or a fox or a human child.
Exactly.
Cool.
Exactly.
I like that.
I like that a lot too.
Yeah. Neat.
Oh, it's neat. I think this would all should be, it should also be something where like, there should be some kind of distinct physical similarity between all of them because they're kind of one thing. They're the sort of four parts of a whole. Like they should all have like...
I think it should be their eyes. You mentioned the three sets of eyes that glow through the darkness.
Yeah,
I think they should all have the exact same eyes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that a lot.
And maybe they don't have like pupils or irises like we do. Maybe they're just
a white solid eye.
Yeah. It could be white or black or just light coming from their eyes, but
spooky.
Something like that.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's maybe talk about a little bit. How do we include this like sort of mechanically in a D&D game, right? Like if you're trying to solve this problem, who would you bring along? Like we talked about having like a druid or a ranger here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is there some type of specific artifact or like some type of specific individual that you think would be useful for solving a puzzle like this or solving a problem like this?
I feel like you need a family counselor. Someone who can get these people to sit down and talk to one another.
Okay.
So I think you need, I guess that would be like a cleric, a family therapist.
Okay.
Someone who's good with emotions and healing. So they need to come. I think you need maybe like a ranger, someone who is essentially like your Sherlock Holmes, who can find the banana slugs, who can see the banana slugs through the mist.
Yes, of course.
So you need a good finder.
The slugs in the mist.
You need, a druid. I think that would pretty much round things out. I don't know if a fighter could do much good in this kind of game.
Your way through time.
There's not much punching you can do.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what
okay.
I would say.
I like that. I mean, a fighter could be the one that like, resists the like physical, like draining effects of being like warped through time constantly because they're like, hardy and like stout maybe. That would be kind of like an anchor to this group.
Image just came to mind for me when you said that.
Yeah.
Is the idea that maybe like the longer this goes on, like we talked about how the family is getting more and more kind of lost or whatever. Yeah. Maybe they're also because of that losing their magic, they're becoming less supernatural and godlike. They're becoming more like people. I picture before with Summer being so overburdened without fault to take away like the weight of her responsibilities, she can hardly walk or stand. And so maybe your fighter, you have like the strong person who's like, I'll carry Summer on my back.
Oh, okay. That's really like an Atlas kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like I will lift up the world. I will lift up the seasons.
Yeah. Like, I've got Summer on my back. And someone else is like, I made a sled to pull Winter around.
Okay. That's a really cool aspect of this is maybe you say, okay, it's a circuit, right? We have to close the circuit. Otherwise the energy will drain out at the open ends. Right. So until you can find Fall and bring them back into the regular flow of things, someone has to take their place temporarily. So yeah, you say, who is the most powerful member of our party? Who can withstand being in this magical conduit, essentially, right? Do you pick the magic user because they're used to having magic flow through them? Do you pick the fighter because they are like their body is more resistant to, the elements and like taking a beating? Do you, pick a cleric because they have the wisdom to like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be a really interesting thing. Like who takes the place of this season temporarily while we solve this problem.
I like the idea that every member of the party has like essentially a season that they're like, well, I'll take care of this person.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of dragging them along with you as you try to look for their missing sibling. Yeah.
For sure. I think that'd be really cool.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. So you kind of have like a Big Brother, Big Sister kind of situation with this dysfunctional seasonal family.
Oh my gosh. I like it a lot. Okay. So maybe the prompt word that I got
will help us
answer this question I was about to ask.
What do you got for us?
Our random prompt is the word wine.
Wine. Ooh.
And I think it's like
pour
the drink.
Wine. It's summertime.
Yeah.
Back to the Hadestown references here.
Okay. So I was going to ask you, I'm like, what? I think we should decide what happened to Fall. Are they missing? Did they die? Were they cast out? Are they still within the temporal forest somewhere? Did they leave the temporal forest? I think we should try and figure out, like, you know, how do we get Fall back?
Okay. I like the idea of something like wine being a key to this, because wine is something that is impacted by the flow of time.
Yeah.
Right? Ages. Like all four seasons have to come to, you know, like in the spring, mm-hmm. the plants like grow, and in the summer we harvest the grapes, and then over the fall and winter they ferment, mm-hmm. and then we, you know, harvest them, you know, we take this product again in the spring, and mm-hmm. we can use it to usher in the new year. We celebrate the conclusion of the previous year and we start the cycle over again. Like that there's kind of this mirroring effect, right?
Yeah.
So I think what we need is we need to take some artifact or some piece of each of these four individuals, mm-hmm. and bring it together to create something that will bind them together again. Whether that is, you know, a wine that we, you know, ferment with something from each of them, or whether it is a, you know, we take a lock of hair from every one of them and we tie it into a rope or something and make a friendship bracelet for them, or, you know, something like that.
See, I was thinking, I like what you're talking about the wine being, they all contribute to it. What I was kind of thinking is like, maybe back when they were in harmony, they would regularly get together and they would share this wine and they would raise a toast to one another and they would all drink from this one cup.
We raise our cups.
Exactly. We fill them up. I know. That's what this is all about. So maybe that hasn't happened for a long time. And that's part of bringing Fall back, is they're like, well, maybe if we can, you know, we'll have a dinner party and, you know, we'll pour the glasses and maybe he'll show up and he'll be there for the toast. I don't know. Or maybe once they find them all, they're like, everybody like pass the cup around, say something nice about your brothers and sisters and everyone take a drink. And when they do that, they're like reunited again.
It's like Thanksgiving. Is everyone say something thankful for to kind of,
which is Fall's holiday all back
together.
And Halloween. He's got two of them.
We gotta be careful. Fall's gonna try and take credit for solving this that if we're I like this a lot. I think finding that binding agent between mm-hmm. them all, I think that's what I would focus on as a solution for this as a party. And I also I really love finding a way for each, I mean, this is assuming it's like a four-person party, right? But like, mm-hmm. you know, finding a way to connect each member of the party with one of these seasons as kind of like a guide for the spirit and say, no, come with me, hold my hand. Mm-hmm. I will bring you back into the normal way of things.
Yeah, back into time.
Back into time, yes.
And all the flowers will bloom.
Oh my gosh.
There's so many beautiful images that I love that are in my head with this idea. Like when Fall comes back, they will lift the burden from summer and they'll be like, oh my God, thank you. And they'll take Winter's hand and like, I'll guide you. And he's like, I was so lost. Where were you? And just, there's so many beautiful things here.
Well, and I think
it makes me really happy.
There's something good too about like if we previously saw Fall as this kind of like ushering in death and decay, right? Mm-hmm. If we say, no, you know, maybe now that Fall has been missing for so long and come back, we have this new perspective. We don't see Fall as death anymore. We see Fall as like a celebration of, it's like a sunset. More
celebration
than
of life.
Exactly.
Oh, it's, I'm going to cry.
It's this like, yeah.
It's like a funeral.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
It's this like beautiful sort of culmination of everything that came before it. You know, it's not about the end. It's about everything that came before and the cycle starting anew.
Dude, again. This is our Pixar movie where like the heartstrings are plucked and it's literally about how to like accept that everyone dies. And it's like, this doesn't have to be the saddest thing ever. Oh my
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely. Well, and it's, it's totally the Pixar thing because it's the, you know, the Incredibles is like, we're all powerful on our own, but our true strength is being a family. Like, you know, like all the seasons, they no longer can rely just on their, they see that they can't rely just on their individual strengths. They have to exist as something that is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
Right? They are all a part of this greater cycle that is not about just one of them. It's about everything coming together.
I think when they find Fall, wherever they were, I can see Little Spring just like running at them full force and like jumping into their arms. And they're like, you're back. I missed you so much. It's just like super duper cute.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh my gosh.
This is cool. I like that.
This is one of the most like fleshed out concepts that we've come up with on the show.
I agree. And that was what I wanted with this. I wanted to focus on one kind of specific thing tied to either this location or this kind of character or this, you know. I think that's neat. I sort of love the idea too that maybe this is something that's gone on for within the forest like thousands of years, but in the world around because of this time dilation, it's been, you know, one cycle of the seasons. People have been like, this is weird, or maybe, you know, just a couple of years or something. But within the confines of the forest, it's like maybe there are individuals that have been trapped in here for centuries trying to solve this problem, and when they finally come out, what do they take with them? You know, like what knowledge now do they gain from, you know, being sort of touched by this magical cycle? They are forever changed magically by this experience. And now they enter back into the regular world.
Yeah.
And what do they bring with them? That's a really cool next stepping stone into something bigger.
Oh my gosh. I just had another kind of concept that we could tie to Fall and their responsibilities. Is we've talked about like Summer being overwhelmed or whatever.
Yeah.
And you talked about these people being trapped in the forest. What if people, like the time has been going on for all this, for centuries or whatever, like you said, during this pocket. What if all the people who died and all the things that died in the forest, maybe Fall is kind of like how what's the name of the boat guy?
Oh, Charon, the boat keeper.
Yes. Fall's job is they guide dead souls onto death.
Yeah.
And so those souls, like the forest has been filling with ghosts because they're like, we have nowhere to go. Where is our guide? And because Fall hasn't been there to guide them.
Thousands of years of ghosts.
Yeah. And so when he comes back or she comes back, it's like, well, I've got a lot of work to do. It's like, come on, ghosts, follow me. And they all get into a big conga line.
Yeah.
and they conga into the afterlife. And it's like, Fall's back. Yay.
I love this balancing act here. I think it's so great. Cause even not talking about like the dead too. I think it's so interesting that Spring and Summer are about growth, right? Mm-hmm. Like all they do is they know how to promote things like to grow larger. But by the end of Summer, the things that are growing in the forest may come to overwhelm even their creator, right? So Fall has to come in and say, I will stop them from growing too powerful. I will, you know, cut back the branches of, you know, the brambles and the thicket that has grown over you and bring things back to where they started.
It should totally be Fall too, who's responsible for the wildfires. And that's part of like why they got so mad at him. They're like, why are you burning
Stop
our woods
burning
down?
All our cool stuff.
And he's like, you don't understand. Like it has to burn so the little guys can grow. And he's like, I know you hate me. I'm the bearer of bad news. I literally kill everything, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Fall.
I love that. No, Fall. Yeah, you're right.
I love Fall.
I love Fall a lot too. Fall is my favorite of these.
Yeah.
This is excellent. I really like this.
I like this too.
Let's just leave it here before we go too far and ruin it.
Leave?
Let's leave
it here.
Let's leave this right here. Beautiful,
Woo!
Piper. Thank you so much.
It's like we never left.
Absolutely.
It's like we never leaved.
We're back in the saddle again, you guys.
Back in the sapling again.
This is exactly what I was talking about. We can't overstay our welcome.
You can't overtree our branch.
We're doing it. We're doing it, Piper. You guys, if you are somehow not sick of us, I mean, I feel like we were going real strong. We hit a plateau.
If you forest, woods, tree.
Stop it! This episode is over, we promise. This must be how you feel every time we play D&D.
Yes.
And I'm just like, puns, like, yeah.
Exactly.
So, you guys, this was a lot of fun. We really love doing this. I would love to do more episodes where we just, yeah, we either take a listener prompt like this that is kind of like a story starter, mm-hmm. or ones that we create for each other. I think doing little kind of duo episodes like this is a lot of fun.
It's super fun.
So if you guys have prompts that you want to write for us like this, Piper, where can our listeners go to send us such ideas as these?
You can reach out to us on Twitter. We're at WorldForgePod, or you can send us emails, worldforgepod@gmail.com.
Yes, absolutely. And Even if you don't have ideas for new episodes for us or prompts like that, we love to hear any kind of feedback that you have. If you have fan fiction or fan art or fan mail of any kind, please send it our way. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun for us to see that. And even if you just any comments to send our way, we really appreciated hearing from you guys while we were kind of on break a couple weeks ago. It really means a lot to us when you guys check in on us and just say like, hey, we're, you know, looking for another episode, or hey, I hope you guys are doing all right, or hey, you know, I just wondering what's up with you.
Yeah.
That's very exciting and very fun for us.
Absolutely. Here, so. And as always, if you really want to show us your love, you can leave a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Because that helps get us in front of more people, because we're too lazy to set up a Patreon.
Yes. Yes. 5 stars and a little comment really does a lot to help get us in front of new listeners, as does sharing this with a friend. If you have someone that you know that you think could benefit from a little boost of inspiration, please send them our way. That is a great way to help expand the reach of our show.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, last week we had a rec room that was actually another podcast that Piper is working on here.
Uh-huh.
I'll just drop another little reminder in that if you want to listen to more of Piper's takes on things, go check out the Air Buds podcast. That's Air as in Jane Eyre, where
E-Y-R-E.
Yes, Piper and our dear friend Lillian, previous guest of the show, they watch different adaptations of Jane Eyre and just give us their takes.
Gonna say the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Piper? I'm excited about it, and I'm proud of you for this podcast, and I just wanted
thanks.
To help share it.
Sorry. Thanks for plugging my podcast for me. I appreciate it. I don't even need to do it anymore.
No, you don't. I did it for you.
Yeah. Air Buds.
Sorry.
Air Buds. You can find it on all of your podcasting, stations. We're also on Twitter and on Instagram. We are the meme queens of the Jane Eyre fandom. So come watch with us, cry with us, laugh with us. Air Buds.
Absolutely. Air Buds.
Air Buds. Air Buds. Yeah. It's time to leaf, Sam.
Yes, it's time to leaf. All right, you guys. thank you so much for tuning in yet again. We love you all. We will be back with another episode again in 2 weeks here.
Yeah.
I think so. We'll see you again next time. And goodbye.
And goodbye.